Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve an almighty God. We serve a God that never fails. And we serve a God with whom all things are possible. Amen. Praise God. And we serve the only God. The Bible said there are that are called gods, but are not. Amen. What was it Abraham Lincoln said? He said, he asked somebody, he said, how many legs does a lamb have? He said, well, he's got four legs. He said, well, what if we called his tail a leg? He said, then it'd have five. He said, no, he's still got four. He said, calling his tail a leg don't make it one. Right. Amen. So just because you call something something, it doesn't make it something. Amen. And so that doesn't change anything, does it? So there are things we can call gods, but they're not gods. There's just one. Amen. I'm glad that I know him, and I'm glad I believe in him. Whether I believe in him or not, he's still God. Doesn't change anything. Just because my puny little conception might want to be different. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What was that guy's name, the philosopher? The German philosopher, Nietzsche. Is that his name, Nietzsche? Yeah, he said that God is dead, right? And he wrote it, you know, God is dead. And then they said, Nietzsche's dead. And then somebody signed it, God. So, that was the final revenge. Because he really was. Amen. All right. I don't know what that's about, but anyway. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy this morning. Thank you for being here. Good to see everybody. Good to have the Cheshire family. Good group. Amen. We're going to do a little dedicating here tonight. And look forward to that. I'm glad you're here. All of our guests, thank you for coming. Good to have Michael Parrott here again today. God bless you, sir. And good to have Stovall with us today. Thank you for being here. We're glad to see everybody. Appreciate you coming and being in the house of the Lord. Amen. We got a lot of folks out today. A lot of sick folks, and traveling folks. And so I'm glad you're here. It'd be lonely without you. Amen, but I appreciate it. We've been having a little rash of the flu around here. I had it last week, but don't I look better? Thank you. My friend used to say, if there's any improvement at all, you are. So anyway, but I'm glad that I feel like a human being almost. I still got a little voice trouble, but we'll make it through. And but we've got several people, that folks that have it, so remember the Krista Bacon and her children, and then Melinda Martin. Remember them today. They're sick and needing our prayers. Brother Williams and his daughter also have a need for prayer today. So remember them in your prayers. We're reading from the book of 2 Timothy, and the second chapter. Let's start with the 15th verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning that truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. I like that. In the face of all this trouble, in the face of false doctrines, in the face of false brethren, in the face of all this stuff, he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Amen. We have a sure foundation. Amen. having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul is writing from a prison cell. He is at the end of his journey. As a matter of fact, he concludes this epistle by saying that the time of his departure is at hand. Any day now, they'll be knocking on the door and they'll take him away, and the sword of Rome will sever his head and silence the tongue of the apostle. But thank God it didn't stop his pen. Here we are, nearly 2,000 years later, thrilled and encouraged and instructed by his words. But he's writing from a prison cell to his son in the gospel, Timothy. And he writes, having given some weighty thought, I'm sure, to what he should say. And he's concerned about some things. He's concerned about the future of the church. Brother Hart mentioned today how that Samuel came to the end of his journey and his sons didn't receive the same passion that he had and the same truth that he had. And his sons didn't do well in life, and they didn't continue to serve God like Samuel did. And every person, when they come sort of close to the end of the journey, they start thinking, who's going to carry this all now? Will what I love continue, or will it die? Amen. Somebody said, and said well, and I think so truthfully, there is no success without a successor. No matter how well you ran, and no matter how great you did, and no matter how strong a church you have built, if you can't pass it on to the next generation. Paul is considering all of these things at the end of the way. And he writes to those he loves best, one of those being Timothy. And he says, first of all, he says, study. The word means put thyself out. It means give it all you got. Amen. It's not just a passive word, but it's an active, passionate word. Amen. Now, give it everything, Timothy. I don't know if we're familiar, some of the East Texas folks, or West Texas at least, I don't know about East Texas, we used to talk about putting yourself out. You remember somebody saying, I don't want you to put yourself out. You ever heard that? Anybody familiar with that phrase? In other words, I don't want you to bother yourself on my account. But Paul's not saying that. He's saying, put yourself out, boy. Give it all you got. Don't reserve anything. Amen. He's concerned about the direction some things are headed. And he says, study, put yourself out to show thyself approved. That is, to present yourself. Hell, when you really want something badly, you present yourself the best you can. You know, if you're gonna apply for a job that you really want, you're gonna present yourself the best you can. If it's the kind of job that requires a resume, you're gonna put some effort in that resume. You're gonna list all the good you can in that, and you're gonna brush your teeth extra well that morning, and then maybe even gargle a little bit with some Listerine, and you're going to use right guard and left guard, and a little foot powder if it's necessary, and make sure you're going to do everything you can. You're going to present yourself because you want to be approved. Amen. And that's what he's saying. He says, study, put yourself out. And then he says, because you're going to present yourself to God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be chosen. I want to be approved. Amen. The word approved is, there was a special stamp of approval. It was better than good housekeeping stamp. Amen. And in a yard where they were having stones, they used to, that they would build buildings out of. And, you know, we just got back from a trip to Europe and we saw some of those buildings over there that have been there for 1,000 years and more. In Salamanca, we crossed a bridge in Salamanca that was built before the time of Christ. It's over 2,000 years old, still standing. If you're going to build something like that, you need some materials that'll stand the test of time. You could see in those stones etchings of initials, and because at the end of the time, a workman would actually have some little symbol that he would use, an initial or symbol, and that's how he got paid, by how many bricks had his name on it, or stones, not bricks, but large stones. And that's how he got paid, if his name was on some of those. And so that's what he's saying here. And when he talks about being approved, when they got ready to build with marble and the huge stones they used, they would test those stones. And if they proved the test, then they were approved. But if not, they put a large A on them, which means that it was adokomos, which means it was not worthy to be used. It wouldn't stand up to pressure. It would crumble if the pressure was put on it just right. And so that's, you can't use that. I wish they would have used, when I was in school, if they would have used the A and the D as they did in Bible times, I would have been better off, because I was closer to the D class than the A class sometimes. And so, but they would put a large A, and that means that this is not approved. It won't stand up. It looks good. Have you ever known somebody that looked good, but they didn't stand up? When you put a little pressure on them, they crumbled. You couldn't depend on them. Amen. He said, Timothy, you can't be like that, son. If you're going to be in this gospel, you can't be like that. No matter how much pressure is applied, no matter how difficult it gets, you've got to still stay integral. You've got to hold it together. You can't crumble beneath the load. Right. Amen. And so he said, well, show yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing. Rightly dividing. Rightly dividing. The word rightly dividing here is talking about it's a straight road. Or it can be, in the case of farming we talked about Wednesday night, it can be a straight row. I love to drive by a field that has been plowed properly. And it's just as straight as an arrow. You look at that and you say, my, that's a work of art. How somebody could plow so straight. Said there was a road setter that he found himself a goal down there, and he didn't deviate. He stayed with it. He didn't go to sleep on the job. He didn't go around anything. He stayed straight the whole way. Amen. And that's what he's talking about, rightly dividing. Amen. You don't change things. It's already written. The Lord said, my heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And he said, it'll not change, not one little jot, not one little tittle, not one little marking. It's supposed to be the same. Don't try to change it. Amen. And so he said, you got to divide it rightly. You got to properly portion the word of the Lord. I got thinking about that a little earlier. That, you know, when you talk about proper portions, the gospel pill is a powerful pill. Have you ever had to take a medication that was so strong you couldn't take it all at one time? I have. You know, they gave me a pill the other day. Boy, I took that thing, I thought my head was going to come off. I said, not this boy. So I cut it in half. I'd rather have a little headache than a big one. And so I'm trying to get it, you know, where I can work into it kind of slowly. I proportion that. Rather than take my head off with it, I said, you know what? If it's going to do me any good at all, I don't think it's doing me much good if I'm hurting like this. Amen. So I properly proportion. And the word of the Lord, you know, you can kill folks with this thing. This is powerful stuff right here. He said, Timothy, he said, you rightly divided. You decide how much is needed and what's needed. And you be careful how you use the word of the Lord. Amen. And you can be right as far as the knowledge and wrong in the way you apply it. And he said, you rightly divided. You get the right portion and you get the right what's needed and that's what you do. And those that are aspiring to ministry, this is so important to us today that we learn how to rightly divide. Learn what's needed. And learn, what was it the fellow said? This is what I thought was one of the greatest prayers I ever heard. He said, Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and help me hush when I've said enough. Amen. I thought I'd get an amen on that. I didn't. But anyway. Amen. Preachers, we ought to learn that prayer early on. God, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and help me hush when I've said enough. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so he said, I want you to learn how to rightly divide. Put the right portion and have the right thing at the right time. And that's what's so vital and so important. Amen. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And then, but the reason he said all that, this is what's really on Paul's heart. He said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase in the more ungodliness. Have you noticed that truth doesn't need any embellishment? You don't add anything to truth. As a matter of fact, if you add anything to truth, then you change truth and it's not true anymore. I knew a lady one time, she said, I know what I'm saying is not true, but it just sounds so much better the way I say it. It's like the preacher that said, what I preach is more than the truth. Well, brother, you need to back up a few steps and just stop right there. Truth doesn't need any embellishment. But he said, vain babbling, said they increase unto more ungodliness. Right. Have you ever noticed when somebody gets to lying, my, it just gets deeper and deeper. It just keeps increasing. Right. It just doesn't seem to have any end. Amen. He said it just keeps increasing. But truth just simply remains the same. It doesn't need any embellishment. It's complete in itself. Amen. And then he, well, quite frankly, he just lists a couple of guys here. Aren't you glad your name's not in here sometimes? At least not in this kind of place. He just picks out a couple of fellas and random. He says, you know, he said, it's like this fella, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Those liars. Whoo! I mean, put your name right there, and he tells us what they've been doing. He said, their word doth eat as a canker. The word canker means cancer. He said, their word eats like a cancer. Amen. Is it possible for somebody to preach and it instead of healing, it eats up like a cancer? It doesn't heal, but it destroys. But it did. He actually gives us the example here of why it did. He said, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. And here's the outcome. He said, and it has overthrown the faith of some. That's the problem. It overthrew the faith of some people. Some people that believe don't believe anymore because they heard a false doctrine that didn't offer any hope. He said, they taught that the resurrection's already past. Did you know that not everybody in Paul's time and Jesus' time believed in the resurrection? There were two main groups in the time of Christ. There were the Sadducees that didn't believe in a resurrection. That's why they were Sadducee. And then there were the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. And Jesus got them to scuffling one time so he could get away over that issue of resurrection. But in the time of the apostles, these doctrines carried over not only from the Jewish community, but also from the Gentile community. There was some that said whenever you were baptized and you came up out of the water, that was the resurrection. That was it right there. That's all the resurrection you got. And there were others that said that actually life is the resurrection, and when you're born, that's a resurrection, and when you die, that's it. Amen. That's what they taught about resurrection. And there were Christians, so-called, that taught that. And they overthrew the faith of some. Amen. I'm glad to know today that there is a real resurrection. And ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. But when I hear the trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground, ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. That's what we mean by resurrection. Hallelujah. On the third day when they went down to the body to anoint the body of Jesus, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. And the angel said, he's alive and he's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And the Bible teaches he was just the first fruits of them that sleep. Amen. If the Spirit that raised up Christ dwells also in your in you, it shall quicken, make alive your mortal body. Amen. That's what we mean by resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe in a resurrection. How about you? But Paul said, that's what I mean, Timothy. If you get to getting away from truth and from doctrine, you can destroy the faith of people. You got to be careful what you teach. You got to be careful what you preach. You got to be make sure that it's the word of the Lord. Amen. Because God's word makes alive. It never destroys and just simply kills. It makes alive. Amen. I like this though. He said to, after talking about the false prophets and talking about the false doctrine and talking about the vain babblings and all of the ungodliness that was increasing, he said, nevertheless, the word or the foundation of God standeth sure. You know, folks, no matter what's going on around you, there's something that'll stay the same and stand the test. That's why you got to get this way down inside. It's good to get it here, but it can't stop here. You got to get it here. It's not that far of a journey, but it makes all of the difference whether you just have it in your head or whether you've got it in your heart. Amen. Whether you just get it in your head or whether you get it in your heart. That's the vital issue. When you get it in here, it's that sure foundation that will stand, that nothing can destroy. Hey, come what may. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And nothing will take it away. There's times that you may not have an answer for the critics. There are times that you may not have a reply. Nothing comes to mind. There are times that the tongue, it seems, of the critic is so sharp and you don't know how to reply to what he says. But down inside there's that settled peace that says, hey, no matter what you say, I know this is right. I know this is right. Maybe I can't answer your questions, but I know this is right. Amen. And I'm just going to keep standing on the word of the Lord. praise God. I can't answer all the critics. I really cannot. I may not be learned enough or wise enough or smart enough, but I tell you what I do know. I know that it's real. Amen. You can, Brother Holly used to tell us, he said, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. I mean, when you know that you know that you know that you know, then you're not at the mercy of somebody that has an argument. Amen. Now, a doctor may have more degrees than a thermometer and say the Holy Ghost is not real, but he came too late, friend, because I done got it. And I know that it's real. Amen. They can tell me all day long, well, you know, tongues ceased. Hadn't yet. Amen. Just talked in tongues this morning. Come too late for that, bud. Amen. Praise God. So it's not over. Amen. Amen. You don't know what you're talking about if you haven't experienced it for yourself. Amen. And so he said, son, he said, now, you got a foundation that's going to stand. The Word of God standeth sure. So that's what you want to build on, not what people think and not what people say. You know, we need to be careful not to explain away the Word of God just in our attempts to explain the Word of God. Amen. There's some men that I read their writings and I admire a lot of their scholarship, but when it comes to some things, they just don't know what they're talking about. Amen. Just because they don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. Amen. I'm telling you, the day of Pentecost was real, and it didn't stop at Pentecost. That was the birth of the church, and it's still the same today. And when he said, you must be born again, amen, that's the same birth for everybody, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to cheat anybody. Hallelujah. I know what happened to me when I repented. You remember when you repented? Did you feel good? Amen. Why'd you feel good? Wasn't what you got, it's what you got rid of. You got rid of all your old sins. Hallelujah. You remember when you were baptized and you buried your sins and they were washed away? I don't know about you, but man, when I got baptized, you talk about clean. I was squeaky clean. That was the most wonderful feeling. I baptized an elderly gentleman down in South Texas, and he come up. I got him up out of the water, and I let go of him. He went right back under himself. Blub, blub, blub. Did baptize himself the second time. He liked it so much. Amen. He wanted to get real clean. Baptized another fella, cowboy boots. I mean, he didn't wait for nothing. He just dove right in. Come up, and next thing, he pulled out his wallet, and he said, got this baptized too. I'd like to baptize more of these, by the way. But anyway, he said, we got it all, preacher. Amen. Praise God. Baptism, it's a part of the plan. Amen. Holy Ghost is still a part of the plan. Amen. How do I know, preacher, if I got the Holy Ghost? Because you speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Hallelujah. And you know that you know. It's a state of the heart address. When the Holy Ghost comes in, it makes an expression of itself. And you speak with another language as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, well, I hadn't done that yet. What's holding you back? Why not this morning? Why not now? Hallelujah. It's for me. It's for you. It's for your children and their children too. It's for everybody. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost that Jesus has given away. Amen. The only thing that'll keep people from getting the Holy Ghost is if they don't know about it or they don't want it. Praise the Lord. It is poured out. It's not something, you know, when we talk about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we're not talking about God has got this little cup and he runs around the country. People come to the altar and he's watching somebody and they're getting real close and he gets his little cup and he says, all right, angels, watch this. I'm going to pour it out on them. That's not what we talk when we talk about that. It's not a cup business. Jesus took care of the cup business with the woman at the well. Amen. She came with her bucket. Amen. And he said, you don't have anything to draw with. You don't have anything to drink out of. Jesus said, but what I'm talking about, it shall be in him. A well, everybody say a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. We're not talking about a cup religion. I used to like that little course that said, here's my cup, Lord, I lift it. It is, it's a nice little song. I like it, and I really do still like it, but I can't hardly sing it anymore. Because I'm convinced that it's not about God filling a cup. He said, I'm not giving you a cup. He said, I'm giving you a well. When you get the well, you forget the cup. Amen. We're wells walking around here. We don't got a begging cup. We got a well on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the well, not the cup here. And so this is genuine, folks. This is real what we're talking about. Amen. And it's for everybody. You can have it today. Amen. So when he poured out, friend, he didn't pour out a cup full. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost was poured out at Pentecost, it's just like the air you breathe. Everywhere you go, there's Holy Ghost. You can't go anywhere there's not Holy Ghost. Amen. But it's like the ocean. You see, if you go down to the ocean and you take a bottle and you stick it under the water with a lid on, nothing happens. Because you're keeping it out. But if you take the lid off, it fills up. Isn't that right? That's what happens with repentance and faith. The Holy Ghost just comes in. It just fills you up everywhere you go. Amen. You can get the Holy Ghost anywhere. Amen. They've already had church in Spain today and other countries in Europe. And there were folks got the Holy Ghost over there. Amen. Already. Folks going to get the Holy Ghost here. It's just everywhere it happens. I've known people get the Holy Ghost in their bed at home, washing dishes in the kitchen, driving the car down the road, all over the place. Just people getting the Holy Ghost wherever. You know why? Because it's everywhere. You can get it anywhere you get ready to get it. Amen. Praise God. So Paul is telling Timothy, he said, I want you to know, son, remember this. Remember this. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows his kids. You know, I really feel like, you know this without me telling you, that this old world sometimes is a pretty wicked place. And it's getting more so every day. And those of you that work in public jobs know more than what I'm talking about. You know what you have to put up with. How people talk, all the things that go on around you, ungodliness on every side. How do you think the Lord must feel in the middle of all that perversity when somebody's sitting there just doing their job and they're working it when all of a sudden they just, a little soft hallelujah comes out. And a little, oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. It just kind of bubbles up and bubbles over. Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen. How do you think that makes the Lord feel? Cussing all around you. Dirty jokes flowing around. Here you are. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate you. You're good to me, God. Amen. How his heart must feel. And he turns to the angel and says, that's one of mine. Look at that. Listen to that. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody else is cussing and they're praising. Amen. Hallelujah. That makes him feel good. The Bible said the Lord's people are his pleasure. Amen. And how true that is. You bring joy to the heart of God by your praise and by your simple living the faith day by day. And lights in the middle of the darkness. And he said the Lord knows them that are his. And then he said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't let there be confusion. Amen. You know, the black eye in Christianity is when people profess to be Christians but don't live the Christian life. Right? You know, they claim Christianity, but they don't live the Christian principle. They don't depart from sin. They want to They want to name Jesus Christ and call themselves by his name, but they don't want to depart from their sin. That brings shame to Christianity. Amen. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. That's what Paul's saying. He said, Timothy, he said, son, don't just talk the talk. He said, you leave iniquity. Goodbye. If you're going to name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Depart from wrongdoing. Live right. Be right. Amen. Praise God. Anybody want to do that here today? Amen. There's a foundation that standeth sure. It's this church. Let's stand together today. Praise God. There's a sure foundation. There's a sure foundation. Amen. Praise God. There's a sure foundation. Hallelujah. Something you can stand on uncertain times. There's a lot of things going on right now in the world. There's a lot of changes going on. There's a lot of interesting things that are happening on every side. Our economy's rocky. Amen. And our political system is rocky. Our government's a little unstable. A lot of things going on. A lot of things going on. Security is, well, there is no such thing. It's not secure. Everywhere you look, there's on the scene of life, there's a lot of change, a lot of uncertainty. And I was reading today, amen, little caption early this morning on the news, at the news on the computer, and it said you still need to worry. That was the word. You still need to worry about swine flu. Now, I may have flu, and I did have flu this week, and I don't know if it was a swine or whose kind it was, but it's bad. But I don't want to worry about it. You know? That just seems the thing is, we're just inundated with all this stuff we got to worry about. It's as if everybody's got to worry. One of the most prominent words in news today is crisis. Crisis. This crisis and that crisis and another crisis. And friend, if y'all paid attention to all that, I'd be scared to death. I wouldn't be able to sleep. Amen. But you know what? I got a foundation. And it's sure. Now, you can go ahead and worry if you want to, but I'm not going to worry. That's what I got a wife for. She worries for both of us. Amen. So I'm not a worrier. Amen. I'm not a worry. It's not my thing. I just don't like to worry. I do what I can, try to solve it the best I know how, but let's don't just worry about stuff. There's no profit in it. You got a foundation. Amen. How many of you have heard people say, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on? I got some good news for you. Jesus didn't say, upon this rope, I'll build my church, and you just hang on. It's not what he said. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. We're not hanging, we're standing. Hallelujah. We've got something stable beneath our feet that is not going to fail and not going to crumble. And if you'll stand on the rock, no matter what comes your way, you're going to be all right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The world has the rope theology. The church has the rock theology. I don't know about you, but I like the rock theology better. Amen. I'm going to stand on the rock. Praise God. Amen. Let's give him thanks.